Glory to Jesus. Close your eyes right now. Lift a hand to heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, speak to me by your servant today. Speak to me by your word. Speak to me by your angelic hand, by your outstretched arm, and by your Holy Spirit. I claim a listening, attentive heart, ready to hear and to do, that as I cross over into this coming year, I do it fighting, I do it conquering, and I do it dwelling in the blessing you've given me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus and please take your seats. If you have your Bible this morning, will you turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Aren't the worship team awesome? Praise God. Where there's a crime, there's a criminal. Where there's a crime, there's an outlaw. Amen. And I want us to look at that whole subject this morning. I heard a powerful story. Jean-Marie, has he gone up with the church? Are you here, Jean-Marie? Why don't you hobble up here and just give us your story real quick. Very powerful testimony. And if you think he looks a bit roughed up, you should see the other guys. Praise the living God. Come on, champion. You can do it. Hobble along there, boy. Praise the living God. Now, guys, I don't suggest that you do what he did, but if you're from where I'm from, then you'll understand the story. And, you know, we don't take things lying down. Hallelujah.
On Sunday, I left my mother-in-law's house. I got to my house in the car park. So I said to my wife, I'll take my daughter down, then you wait. And then something said, no, let her take her down and you wait. So you take her down and I'll wait. And I sat offload in the car. It was dark. Some guy came behind me and he said, give me your watch. I would have given it to him because of my wife. But before I even reacted, he threw a punch. So I saw the punch coming because he was tall and bigger than me. So I dodged and I elbowed him in the cheek. So he went downside bleeding. And two of his mates came out of nowhere. One of them had a big knife, like a black knife. So I said, I need to back off against the wall so I can see them, otherwise they surround you. So as I was backing up against the wall, one of them threw a kick to hit my private part, so I backed up even more. And the other one threw, it was going for my jugular because everyone was covered, so I was trying to go for my neck. So I swerved and hit his ribs. I hit him really, really hard, so I broke my metatarsals. Then he went down crouching, and then his other mate started standing up again, so I thought, I better do something. As I was coming off, he started running off. The other one followed him, and the third one started hobbling along. So I thought, I'm going to follow him, give him more, but he didn't let go of the knife. So I went on the floor, they went into their Range Rover and just drove off. The police turned up, and it was just mayhem. So my wife don't want to stay in the house anymore, but it's only by the grace of God I'm here sharing this. I'm not in the newspapers, I'm not on TV or anything like that. It's only by His grace and His grace alone.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's even before the James Bond party. Hallelujah. Wow. Where there's a crime, there's a criminal. You know, I grew up in Tottenham in North London. And in fact, what happened to Jean-Marie was in Highbury. Highbury used to be a respectable neighborhood when I was growing up. But obviously, something's changed around there. May God turn it back in Jesus' mighty name. And growing up in Tottenham, you know, there were certain guys, like if you knew what you were good at in the sort of criminal life, then you sort of almost gained like a PhD in that particular thing. And many people looked at going to prison almost like a secondary school. It was like a further education. And there was this guy, little white guy, about 5'4", something like that. We used to call him Monkey. Because he could run up the side of a building. I saw it with my own eyes. It looked even supernatural. You know, like these kung fu movies. The guy could run up the side of a building and he could be in a house in seconds. It was just unbelievable, you know? And anyway, guys like that back in the day existed. I don't know if they do now. I'm out of touch with all those kind of things. I'm sure Terry's laughing. But the point about these guys is that they were criminals. They were, many of them were self-taught. They were trained and they developed themselves in their criminality. One guy, when he was arrested and charged, he was put in prison and they did him for 13 burglaries. And I think he, you know where you can plea bargain with a judge? He plea bargained with a judge to take a further 140 burglaries into account. One guy. When he went to prison, crime dropped in Tottenham by about 20%. One dude. Imagine. Turn to your neighbor and tell them where there's a crime, there's a criminal. And you see, my brother and sister, we've been given things in the Word of God that are ours. Things that have been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ that are ours by right. They are ours by divine right. The Bible talks about salvation. It says, to him who saved us from our sins and washed us in his own blood, in Revelation chapter 1. And I want to preach from my notes today because I want to make sure that I don't miss any of the things that God has given me to share with you today. Because we're crossing from a year of conquest where we've learned how to fight and to conquer and to dwell in the blessing of God. But 2017 for us is going to be a year of expansion. So we're going to have to expand more. Whatever of the blessing of God that you have received in your spiritual life so far, there's more. Actually, if you read your Bible, there's much more. You know, I don't read, when I read my Bible about God and about his blessing, about his kindness and goodness and his mercy and provision, I don't read that God has more for us. I read that he has much more. He's the God of much more. You could put it this way, he doesn't know when to stop. Have you ever noticed that? You know, the Bible talks about the little boy who gave his lunch and then there were 12 baskets left over. And, you know, I believe that those 12 baskets will belong to that little boy. May you get your lunch. Anything you give out, may you get it back in Jesus' mighty name. And so there's a principle here that we don't serve a God of just enough. We don't serve a God of just barely get by. We don't serve a God of more. We serve a God of much more. So whatever we've experienced of the blessing of God so far in our lives, there's not more, there's much more. Amen. Amen. It's really important that you get your spirit ready for some of the things that God has got for us. Because you see, this is the way that the Lord put it to me, and I want to read it straight from out my notes. In fact, I want four volunteers as well. Let me pick them, hand-picked volunteers. Wonderful. Let me take Angie. Let me take Val. Who's that? Is that Martha? Hello, Martha. Let me take Martha. Long time, honey. How are you doing? Come forward, please. Angie, Val, Martha, and let me pick Terry as well. Actually, Terry, there's one specific one I want to give you because it's that one. That is your portion. Now, let me take Martha. If you stand here. Long time, honey. Wonderful. Salvation, healing. Let's take prosperity here, Angie. Thank you. And Val, ambassadorship. Great. Okay. Four blessings of the cross. I want to drum these into you at every opportunity I can because they belong to you. Amen. If Jesus died on the cross for you, then these things belong to you. Amen. And the great thing about them is that they don't just stop. Salvation isn't something that stops when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, make me a new creation, etc. No, salvation, the Bible says that God, in the book of Hebrews, it says he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near. So salvation goes from glory to glory. Salvation goes from strength to strength. Salvation goes from faith to faith. So the journey that we're on is upwards and onwards. We don't stop. You know that old Michael Jackson song, "Don't stop till you get enough." Well, that's the kind of God that we serve. He's not the God of more. He's the God of much more. And there's a difference. I don't know about you, but I like much more. There's something good about much more. You see, when I started out getting saved, it's like, wow. And then God started to clean me up and change me, make me a respectable person. Wow. Suddenly, I was respectable. And, you know, certain things don't happen overnight. If you've come from where I've come from, respectability is a journey. Credibility is a journey. Who's going to believe a guy from N15? Okay, moving swiftly along. Praise the living God. So salvation, we go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, right? And I want us to read Matthew 12 right now at this point, and I want to emphasize this point. Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 43 to 44, because this is really, really important. 12, 43 and 44. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. Say, seeking rest. And it finds none. Next verse. Then it says, listen to the cheekiness. Now, can you imagine, right? Let's suppose in, thank God, I mean, I know Martha, I know her history. She was never demon-possessed. Glory to God forever. At least I think, no, she's good. Right, now, let's say she was demon-possessed in a certain way, and then when she gave her life to Jesus Christ, she got free from that spirit, right? Because verse 43 says, when a spirit, come on, act it up then, Martha, come on. Yes, thank you. I've missed you. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. Now, she's given her life to Christ, so who does she belong to now? Jesus Christ. Right, verse 44. Then it says, what says the unclean spirit? Look at this. I will return to whose house? My house. So he still wants, you see, now, right, this is the thing. For that demon spirit to want to reoccupy what now belongs to Jesus Christ is a crime. Amen. It's called... what do they call it? Squatting. They call it breaking and entering. What do they call it? Burglary or any of those things. You'd have to be guilty of one of those crimes, you see. But this is the thing. Without the person to arrest them for their crime, then what? Lawlessness prevails. That's why we've got to pray for our law enforcement. I thank God for the number of police people. And there's even people who work for the police in Harvest that no one knows about. Absolutely no one except me and them because of the work that they do. And I thank God for the privilege of speaking to such people. In fact, I salute you in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, anyone who's not clapping now is a criminal suspect. Note their name. Hallelujah. You see, sorry. Okay. So, yeah, carry on. Yes, please, carry on clapping. You'll reprieve yourself. You see, this is the thing. You see, criminality needs a criminal, right? And we must see, if you have been saved, if you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, if you have been delivered from sin, if you have been delivered from all kinds, I mean, there's 100 million different ways of lawlessness. Pride is lawlessness. According to the Bible, gossip is lawlessness. Here's an interesting one. Cowardice is lawlessness. In fact, the first people into the lake of fire aren't thieves or gays or prostitutes or anything like that. It's cowards. You read your Bible, the book of Revelation. So God doesn't see things the way that we see things. Do you understand? But whatever you've been delivered from in Christ, it's really, really important to understand this, that that becomes a note in heaven. When you lifted your hand, you said, Jesus, come into my heart, make me a new creature, etc., etc., etc. Those words were taken down. And according to what Scripture says, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which means for anything then to try and occupy you is an alien force. It's a criminal force. It's an outlaw force. And therefore, you must evict it. You must stand on what the Word of God says, that you have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And this thing is an illegality to try and come back into my life. Hallelujah. It's really, really, really important that we see the cross of Jesus Christ and the benefits of the cross the way God sees them. Because when you and heaven can line up in agreement, things can change. Hallelujah. You got me so far. It's very, very important, you see. Right, now, let's move along one. Healing. Thanks, Martha. Stay there if you can. Healing, right? Healing belongs to us. Amen. More people should say amen, because sickness might try and locate you next year as a result. It's very important that when somebody says something that's true, that you say your amen. The Bible says that the Lord said to Moses, he said, the priest shall declare a thing and the people shall say amen. Why? Because your amen is an agreement to that particular thing, right? Now, healing, sickness, there are, oh my goodness, how many million types of sickness are there? We've got a lot of doctors in the house, and it's like, I mean, there's new funky sicknesses almost coming up every year, and they've got some weird names. I mean, can you imagine? Like, I don't know about, if I was Dr. Parkinson, I wouldn't have wanted a disease to have been named after me because I discovered it. In fact, I would say to them, listen, call it anything else. Yes. Right? I would think of my worst enemy on planet Earth, and I would say, call it Hallelujah So-and-So's disease or something like that. Because I would not want a sickness. But I don't know, maybe it gets to their head or something, you know. So a lot of these guys, like Alzheimer's disease, didn't start with a guy called Alzheimer. It was recognized as a diagnosis and as a syndrome of Alzheimer's. Do you see what I mean? So you get diseases, for instance, like multiple sclerosis, and nobody has really coined multiple sclerosis, because the way that they have to diagnose it is to undiagnose everything else, and then you're usually left with MS. Is that right, docs? You're nodding. Great. I don't want to get out of my depth here, but that's fun. That's what my doctors are all nodding now, so I know I'm in the right territory, right? So, with healing, now, Jesus said in Scripture that there were certain people who were sick as a result of a spirit of infirmity. And I've noticed, medics, here's a really good one, right? If you have a patient, we've got probably 10 doctors in the house here, right? And I would guarantee you that probably every single one of you, at least on one occasion, and some of you a whole lot more, have come across people who are suffering from a particular sickness, and you've done everything medically to try and sort that sickness out, but that thing isn't going away, right? When I hear that, when people come to me, like to mention that, to speak to me about their problems, and they've got this particular medical thing and it won't go away, I start looking into the spiritual realm to see, is there a spirit of infirmity? Because if natural medicine can't help you, then really the only hope is supernatural medicine. And you know, the NHS has really done itself a disfavor by refusing to allow doctors to practice supernatural medicine. Because unless they call it Reiki or homeopathy, which is a complete not, if you look into homeopathy, it's nonsense, it's hogwash. There's absolutely nothing behind it. In fact, if anything, there's probably a spirit of witchcraft behind it. I honestly don't know, but like generally, homeopathy is like, it's for the birds, right? It's crazy. But you can prescribe homeopathy on the NHS, but you can't prescribe prayer. You can't prescribe deliverance. And it's a problem. It's a real problem. Because there's some people, the only solution to their sickness is deliverance. The problem with the body of Christ is that we've gone so far over onto deliverance that everything's a demon, that no one pays us any attention. Do you remember the air freshener, Terry, the story of the air freshener? Can I tell that story? It's wonderful. Terry's mum was staying in their house. Have you heard this story? Oh my goodness, there's some things that just beggar belief. She goes to a particular type of church where everything is a demon. Everything has to die by fire. It's all die, die, die. Acid rain on your enemies, all that kind of thing, right? So now Terry's in a very important job with the Met, and he's training up people, and like, next thing he gets a call from his mum. She says, Terry, there's a demon in your house. Terry said, what, Mum? He said, my house is sanctified by the blood of Jesus. For this to be true, what you're saying, would be a criminal. It's just not, it's untenable what you're saying. It's impossible for this to be the case. There's a demon there. She says, I heard it. He said, what does it sound like, Mum? It sounds like, psst, psst, psst. Where do you hear it, Mum? I hear it out in the hall there. It's no other room. No, it's out there in the hall. So, and how often does it happen? She says, well, probably every like 20 minutes, half an hour. Psst. Psst. She said, I've been rebuking it, but it won't go away. He said, Mum, that's my air freshener. Merciful Lord. But that's the trouble, you see. We in the body of Christ, we've lost our credibility because of everything's a demon, right? So you've got the NHS one side saying nothing's a demon, and then you've got the body of Christ on the other saying everything's a demon. But really, the truth is somewhere around the middle, somewhere like that. And we've got to get that ground back in Jesus' mighty name, right? Now, this is what I heard this morning as I was studying. Every attempt, now you think about it, healing was bought for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? Everything of these four things was bought for us at or around the cross of Jesus Christ, right? Salvation by his own blood. Healing, the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. You see, for me, that's not a promise from God. To me, by his stripes we are healed isn't a promise from God. It's a statement of historical fact. Do you understand the difference? So for sickness to try and root itself in my life is an act of criminality. Amen. So you see, what did I say earlier? Where there's a crime, there's a criminal, right? So we've got to identify who the criminal is. I love this. John Alexander Dowie, one of the fathers of supernatural healing. In fact, his picture is in the cafe there. It's one of the black and white pictures. He said this. He said, sickness is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its stepmother, sin. I love that. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its stepmother, sin. That's a revelation from God right there. May God reveal it to you in Jesus' mighty name. You see, so if my blood pressure raises, I don't see it as, oh, Father, you need to heal me, my blood pressure's high. No, I see it as a crime. I see it as a crime, just as much as if somebody jumped out of a Range Rover and said, give me your watch. I see it as, may you see, from this moment on, may you see every attack of the enemy on your physical body for what it is, a crime. Why? Because in heaven's statute, it has been written that he bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. The chastisement necessary for me to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto God, by whose stripes we were healed. You see, what's that? By his stripes we were healed. That's history. That's not promise. That is history. My healing is history. If I was healed, then I am healed. And anything that tries to make me sick is an outlaw and a crime. For every crime, there's a criminal. I love what Jesus said in the earlier verses here in Matthew chapter 12. He says in verse 29, he says, "Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house?" You see, there's a criminal, there's an outlaw whose name is Satan, who is behind every sickness. This is how I deal with it. Behind every sickness that has ever tried to come on my body, the devil is right there. He's right there. And I treat him as such. "Satan, I take great pleasure in binding you, in casting you out of my body, in casting you out of my family, in casting you out of my finances, in casting you out of my ministry, in the name of Jesus." Why? Because he's an outlaw. I refuse to tolerate sickness. And I suggest you do the same. It's worked well for me so far. Praise the living God forever. Why not, Pastor P? Are you claiming you're invincible? Do you know the honest truth? I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. And personally, I don't care. Because, you see, it's been bought for me. All I'm doing is putting into action what's been bought and paid for me. Can you imagine if you bought me a car and then I walked home? What would you think of me? "Oh, I'm not worthy of this car. I'm not worthy to drive it. I'll just stand back at the bus stop where I've always stood and let the rain..." Did you hear my wife's story last week about when she was driving and she drove through the puddle and soaked those two old ladies in her village? Up? I couldn't believe it. I was aghast at my wife. So, wow, I thought you were nice. My. You see, now, can you imagine if I behaved that way, I would be stupid. But concerning the things of God, we almost take it as a given. It's like, humble old me, little old me, meek and mild. That's not meekness, that's stupidity. And the great thing about having a car is that you can give other people a lift. And all the generous people said, amen. Amen. Yes, you can put it to work in the ministry, right? So healing, every attempted sickness, every attempted sickness is a criminal act. Every single one. May you never suffer that criminality again in the mighty name of Jesus. It's not God. How many times do we look, "Oh God, heal me. Oh God, heal me." And God from heaven is looking and he's saying, "You know what? It's all there. It's all done. You're not saying the right things." There's certain things you got to do as well. It's like the guy who received, you heard about the guy who received that great prophecy that God was going to bless him and use him mightily for his glory. He got so excited, he ran out of the church, wasn't looking, and got hit by a bus. And that was the end of that prophecy. Do you see what I mean? Like, we're like that sometimes, right? Turn to your neighbor and tell him he was a good swimmer. That's what the Lord said to me once. He said, "Everyone who's drowned was a good swimmer." It's because we think we can make it on our own instead of seeing what we need to do to accomplish the things that God has given us, that God has done for us, that God has made for us. Can you say amen? Amen. So may you always be an amateur in Jesus' name, so that you have to hear the voice of God to put to work the things that God has already won for you. When we think we know how, we can really come a cropper. I remember you talk about concerning demonic strongholds and everything like that. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I break every stronghold in my life. You know, the Bible says that we're going like, we were saved, we are saved, and we will be saved. So salvation is a journey, right? And I remember saying to the Lord, I said, "Lord, every stronghold in my life, I break it. Lord, if there's show me, like, is there any stronghold in my life that I need to..." And I'm like pacing the floor. I think, you know, it might have been a half night or an all night of prayer. I'm pacing up and down. "Lord, show me the strongholds." The Lord said to me, he said, "The strongholds that you need to break are the ones you enjoy the most." I went, "Hey, Daddy." You understand? Sometimes we're far too spiritual for our own good. May God deliver you from the strongholds that you enjoy most. Self-pity. Here's a great one. Self-pity is a stronghold of the devil. How many of us enjoy self-pity, wallowing around in a little bit of self-pity? Oh, Lord, nobody loves me. Everybody. Anyway, I won't go there just in case you start getting convicted too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right. Now, that's salvation. That's healing. Here's prosperity, right? Now, let me give you the chapter and verse for these. You've got salvation about Jesus saving us, washing us in his own blood. We've got healing, that by his stripes we were healed. All these things happened at the cross. Prosperity happened at the cross of Jesus Christ. Although he was rich, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, although he was rich, yet for our sakes, say for my sake, he was made poor, that we, through his poverty. Well, where was that poverty? If you look up that Greek word, it's absolutely poor of the poor. Absolutely bereft of everything. Not a single possession. We have, for the sake of religious dignity, churches that put these little statues of Jesus on the cross. They put him wearing a loincloth around. But the Roman soldiers used to hang their criminals naked. So he didn't even have a loincloth to his name. The Bible says they even took his garments and gambled for them. I mean, you talk about bereft of absolutely everything. That was at the cross of Jesus. That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And when I was praying about this morning, you see, the Lord said this. He said, for you not to dwell in financial prosperity is a crime. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, where there's a crime, there's a criminal. We need to do some arresting, folks. Hallelujah to Jesus. We need to arrest some dudes, demons of poverty. You see, and going back to what I said earlier, not everything's a demon. Oh, Jesus. Let me tell you a story to illustrate this point, right? In Ghana, there was a very rich man by the name of David Lamptey. In fact, some of you may have even heard of him here, some of you who are Ghanaians. He was incredibly rich. When he died, he had $250 million in his current account. That's not his savings, that's not his assets, that's not anything. That was his current account, $250 million US, right? I heard a story that he paid his tax bill in cash using rubbish sacks full of $100 bills, went to the castle there in Accra and paid his tax bill in person in cash using $100 bills. Hey, mommy. I mean, how many of you would agree that he was a wealthy dude, right? There was one contract that he won, and he was known for his generosity. There was one contract that he won, and he got so excited because he was in the fertilizer business and all that kind of thing. There was one contract that he won with a government in a particular part of Africa, and he got so excited at the profit that he made that he went to the bank in Accra, where it was his bank. I can't remember what they call it. Is it GTB, Ghana Trust Bank? Is there a bank like that? Something like that. And he went there to pay in the money, and there was so much money to pay in that he gave each one of the bank tellers $10,000 each just for helping with paying in the bank thing. I mean, you know, I didn't know who the... When I met him, I didn't know who the dude was. I mean, people were around him like flies around a dinner. But I didn't know that it was a special thing to meet this guy. I saw his son, and I prophesied over the son, and the rest is here. I can't tell you the rest in case the tax man's listening. Anyway, and so now, can you imagine, right? When the Barclays branch, because he also banked with Barclays over there. When the Barclays branch guys heard that he'd given 10,000 each, they called up the office. They said, now, what happened to us? So he went there and he gave them each $10,000 as well. Generosity was his mainstay. He paid for crusade after crusade. I preached some of the crusades he paid for over there in Ghana. Very, very powerful financial man, right? Now, this is the illustration that the Lord God gave me this morning when I was praying for this message to try and help you understand where and what we've got to do and what we've got to apply and appropriate for this thing to be successful in our lives, right? He said, can you imagine if this guy, David Lamptey, went in and robbed one of those bank branches? Went in with a shotgun and robbed that bank. What would you think? Would it be a crime? Huh? Would it be a crime? Answer me, yes or no. How many of you think it would be a crime? Why? Huh? It's his money. But what? He wasn't withdrawing it the right way. Right? And this is what God said to me in relation to our prosperity. He said, if you want to prosper, he said, you have to do it the right way. I remember that Father Ted episode. Anyone ever watch Father Ted? Where he goes into the post office with a shotgun and comes out with the money and the priest is sitting in the car. And he says, don't worry, Father, it's my own money. I couldn't be bothered filling out the forms. He says, yeah. So, you see, many, many times, that's the way we treat prosperity. We want to shortcut. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All these things, he says, for such as these things, the Gentiles seek. I pray, listen, if you want to expand financially in 2017, put God first. The number of people that I deal with and their finances are in a mess because they haven't put God first. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse. You think God is saying that for his benefit? Absolutely not. God said that to me once. He said, I've never taken a penny to heaven. He said, even the mantle that fell from Elijah was belonging to the earth. It remained on the earth. Very powerful. Very powerful. That's the God we serve. So if we're going to do it, we're going to do it what way? The right way. We've got to give God what's right, not what's left. Amen. I want you to do well financially this coming year. I want you to do it. But you've got to do it God's way. The Lord said to me once, he said, well, there's two ways you can do anything in life. He said, there's my way and the hard way. Which one would you prefer? I said, right, well, that settles that. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, ambassadorship, right? I've given you that scripture, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. I want to tattoo them into your life if I can, these scriptures, because all four of these things were won at the cross of Jesus. Thank you guys for standing up the whole service, by the way. It really helps with the illustration. Right, ambassadorship. This is what God said about this. He said, for you not to share in all the benefits and strategic interests of heaven on earth is a crime. A crime. Now you imagine what's in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any poverty? Is there any lawsuits? Are there any tussles with authorities? Is there any necessity for anyone in heaven to get papers? Roro. No, there isn't. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, for us not to enjoy the benefits of our ambassadorship. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In fact, if you could put it up on the board there, Gifty, we'll just read some of that thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. In fact, if you look at the King James, don't bother changing it on there. I'll just tell them. If you look at it on the King James, it doesn't say new things have come. It says all things are new. And I like that bit better. Let me give you a little hint in terms of Bible translations, because they all take the Greek, which is a very poetic language, and try to put it into strict English. So translations come out slightly different. They all mean generally the same thing. But you know how I read my Bible? Pick the best translation for you. Pick the worst one for the devil and pick the best one for you. Hallelujah. Works every time, right? He says, all things are new. Verse 18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Where and when was he reconciling the world? At the cross, right? Not counting their trespasses against them. That was good news for me. And he has committed, I know I'm the only scallywag in the house, praise the living God. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Carry on. Therefore, we, that's you and me, are ambassadors. Now, right, let's suppose that you are the ambassador from the USA to Afghanistan. Do you live the way that Afghans live or the way that Americans live? Americans. Why? Because you're an ambassador. So even if there's an entire power cut across the whole of Afghanistan, you still have light in your thing. In fact, they used to make money. Who was it was telling me? Archbishop Duncan Williams was telling me once that he was friends with a guy who was an ambassador, I think, from Ivory Coast to Ghana in the 70s. There was some trouble, and finding things in Ghana was very hard. Getting things into the country was very difficult. He said, but I suffered no lack. He said, because my friend was the ambassador from Cote d'Ivoire to Ghana. He said, anything we needed, that ambassador had it. Why? Because the ambassador was not living according to what was going on in Ghana. He was living according to what was going on in Cote d'Ivoire. Hallelujah. Now, you can see, let me pick a really poor country like Mozambique, somewhere like that, right? One of the poorest countries on earth. When you see the ambassador from Mozambique to the UK driving around, he's in his personal Merc number plate. Number one, M-O-Z. Or number one, what's the Pakistani number one, P-A-K. I said, hey, such a poor country. And the guy's living like a multimillionaire. Why? He's an ambassador. So whichever way you have it, if you're an ambassador from a poor country to a rich one or a rich country to a poor one, agbina, it's done. It's full. It's complete. It's finished. Settled. May you understand your ambassadorship. Verse 21. He made him who knew no sin. Where did that happen? On the cross. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. The Bible says Christ became sin. He didn't just carry. That would have been bad enough, carrying even my sins alone. That's enough to damn anyone to hell for eternity, right? But he carried all our sin. Can you imagine the collective sin in this room alone? Hey, mommy. The Bible says that he not only carried our sin, he became sin. I mean, sin itself. That's why Jesus said, you remember, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you remember the serpent? The serpent represents what? Sin. Jesus became sin on our behalf that we might become. Look at that. Hey. If anyone asks you, who do you think you are? Quote this scripture. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why wouldn't I enjoy my salvation to the max? Why wouldn't I enjoy my healing to the max? Why wouldn't I enjoy my prosperity to the max? Why wouldn't I enjoy my ambassadorship to the max? There's only one reason, and that would be because there's a criminal who's trying to take it from me. I pray this morning, that you turn your spiritual guns on the enemy of your soul, the one who has been keeping you poor, the one who has been keeping you sick, the one who has been keeping you with your own self-image as worthless. What ambassador on earth would have a worthless self-image? Not one. If an ambassador walked in this room, everybody naturally would stand to their feet, no matter what country he was from. Why? Because he's an ambassador. May God give you a revelation of your ambassadorship in Christ Jesus. Stand to your feet. We want to thank God for his word. Thank you, guys. Please as well clap for these guys who stood up the whole service. God bless you guys. Thank you. Wonderful. Close your eyes and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever is hindering the next level of my salvation, whatever is hindering the next level of my healing, whatever is hindering the next level of my prosperity, whatever is hindering the next level of my ambassadorship, in the name of Jesus Christ, in 2017 and starting now, I'll turn my spiritual guns on that outlaw, the devil. Show me how, Heavenly Father, to go from faith to faith, to go from strength to strength, to go from glory to glory, that I may live the life that was bought and paid for me on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.